Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
And we are live. I'm here with my good friend, Jared McCachran. Some of you guys know him. Because our streams go to his after. We redirect most of our streams to his. He's been doing an awesome job streaming. Him and his wife doing prayer and worship. If you guys don't know, he's one of my best friends. Him and his wife.
All right.
And my wife and me, we hang out all the time. We hang out all the time. And so, Jared, I'm super glad to have you on. We are talking about, not just me, a topic that I love to talk about, which is tongues. I know it's super contentious. A lot of people do not talk about this. People are afraid of diving into this, but hey, episode 177, we're talking about tongues. And here's why. Here's why we're talking about it. Here's why we're going to keep talking about it. There are so many of you out there that this will revolutionize your life. This will actually change everything. So I want you guys to be encouraged. This is in the Bible, it's scriptural, and I want you to be encouraged by this. Don't be discouraged saying, well, I've never gotten it before. Well, I've prayed for it a bunch of times. Tonight is your night. When I come to God, Jared, I come with faith. I come believing, Lord, you're gonna do it right now. Like I'm not believing for tomorrow. I'm not believing for next week. I'm believing for now. So I want some of you that have been discouraged, don't be discouraged. Don't be weary. Come to God today as if it's your first time praying for this baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we got a lot of stuff to cover, but I just want to encourage you guys, come with faith, come with belief, come knowing that God wants to meet you. We never want our streams to be head knowledge, natural, normal, just going over a bunch of scriptures. The Bible says the word of God is alive and active. So there's power tonight. We're believing. We've prayed. We've prayed for the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to invade your house, to invade your life. So we're going to answer probably most of the questions you have. We'll try to do some Q&A at the end, but we actually want to pray in tongues at the end. So don't be scared like, oh no, they're praying in tongues. We're going to be praying in tongues at the end. We're going to be praying that you get this. We're going to give you some helpful tips to just to receive, because there is biblical things you can do to receive. But yeah, it's going to be a great stream. Jared, what are your general thoughts when we talk about tongues and we jump into this? I know you're passionate about it. Obviously, Jared speaks in tongues, or I wouldn't be having him on if you guys are wondering. What are some of your initial thoughts on it?
Well, I think tongues have been such a controversial subject for such a long time. It wasn't in the book of Acts. It was like welcomed. It was exciting. Everybody was seeking it, wanting it. And it was like a non-negotiable for people. And I think what we've made it is such a divisive topic. I mean, tongues literally united all these people groups, and then it started the church. The church started with tongues. I mean, it was God's design, and it spread like wildfire. And here, now, we all decide to divide on tongues. We decide that we're going to have all of our different camps. We're going to have all these different denominations. We're going to have all these people that want, they actually build their ministry trying to get people not to speak in tongues.
Come on.
How crazy is that? This was God's design. So now we're going against God's design. Now we're actually literally trying to do something unbiblical and get people not filled with the Spirit, not speaking in tongues, not filled with power. And we realize that's what's missing in the church. The body of Christ, it is such a deficiency. If I go to the doctor right now and I do blood work, the doctor's going to say, Jared, you need to supplement right now with vitamin A. I need you to take 5,000 milligrams over and over and over until your body gets back in balance. I believe if we all start getting filled with the Spirit, speaking in new tongues, new languages, guess what's going to happen? The body is going to get back in balance. We are going to start moving in power. We are going to start seeing miracles, and we're going to start feeling great. Why? Because tongues edifies. It builds us up. It is us speaking mysteries to the Father. And it is supernatural, and we need this connection. So I'm fired up. I'm excited. I'll keep going, but
it's as you said, Jared, it's life changing. We're both going to share our stories of how our first time speaking in tongues. So we won't rush through that, but I want you guys to come in believing that this is going to be your night, and just come with encouragement and don't come with unbelief. Some of you, we're going to just be real here. I know it's Friday night. I praise God that you're here, but some of you are coming to try to disprove us. I just want to let you know, like, We can't see you. So there's no point in coming in here trying to disprove us, trying to talk against what we're saying. Come in here with faith. Unbelief does not move the Holy Spirit. Unbelief does not move the hand of God. Unbelief is what causes God not to move. The Bible says Jesus didn't do many miracles because of their unbelief. So maybe you've lived your life mocking tongues, thinking tongues is demonic, speaking bad about tongues. Do not come with that mindset. Do not come with that religious mindset. Come with an open mind and open heart and say, Lord, show me. I don't want to live my life in unbelief. And there are people that preach against tongues, and this is what they say, Jared. Well, if the Lord wanted me to speak in tongues, he would just give it to me. But I don't really believe in it. But if I got it, I would believe in it. That's unbelief. The Bible says earnestly desire, 1 Corinthians 12, pursue spiritual gifts. It doesn't say have unbelief sitting around saying, God, if you want me to have it, give it to me. So that's not the way we approach God. When Jesus came to people and said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? They were like, well, I don't know. We have to come with faith. We have to come saying, I want to speak this. I want to have a prayer language. I want the Holy Spirit to pray out of me. And tonight we're specifically talking about praying in tongues. Now, let me say this before we even go into our stories, Jared. When it comes to tongues, some people might say, well, the Bible doesn't say praying in tongues. It says speaking in tongues. Although there is a part that says pray in the Holy Spirit, but we won't go into that yet. Guys, I want you just to stop with the word semantics and remember prayer is speaking. Okay, so speaking and prayer, mind blown. Speaking and prayer are the same. So if I say I'm praying to God, what am I saying? I'm speaking to God. So the Bible doesn't have to necessarily, on all the verses we're going to go over tonight, say they were praying in tongues if it says they were speaking. Because 1 Corinthians 14:2 is going to tell us that when you speak in tongues, you are praying to God. Nobody understands you, but you are being edified. Only you and God. So that's prayer. So again, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, synonymous. Although there is a time where you speak in tongues to the congregation, a message, which is what Paul was rebuking the church of Corinth for. He was saying, look it, you guys are getting up there, just to be clear in the forefront, he goes, you guys are getting up there preaching messages in tongues. You're speaking in tongues on the stage for 30, 40 minutes. Nobody understands you. So make sure if you're going to speak in tongues with a message, like to the congregation, have an interpreter. But Paul wasn't saying, don't pray in tongues. And in fact, Paul later says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. So I'm not trying to stir it up too much before we start, but if your pastor forbids it, he's going against scripture. If your pastor forbids speaking in tongues, he is going against the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Okay, and then last warning. That's my first warning. Number warning two, guys, I know you're going to get passionate in the chat. I know some of you are going to come here and be like, tongues is demonic, it's fake, it's gibberish. Let's just be very, very careful because I know some of you don't believe that you think we're just making up gibberish. If there's a zero, just listen to what I'm about to say, chat. If there's a 0.1% chance that we are speaking in tongues and it's actually the Holy Spirit praying out of us, if I was you, I would not be saying it's demonic. If I was you, if there's a 0.00001% chance that what we're doing is biblical, which we know 100% it is, but just for your sake, I would not speak against it. You guys so rashly come and say, tongues is demonic. Speaking in tongues, you guys are making up gibberish. Like, that's scary, Jared. I would never say that, even if I don't believe in it. If I'm like, I don't really believe in it, I would never say it's demonic or it's gibberish when you don't know. You don't know. You're not even sure. We have scriptures. All you have is emotionalism. All you have is anger. All you have is resentment. All you have is unbelief. So all I'm warning you is, if you're a scoffer or mocker, we're claiming that the Holy Spirit's praying out of us. So you are technically talking about the Holy Spirit, not us, because we're saying tonight, and we're going to show you in scripture, that when you pray, well, 1 Corinthians 14:2, the Holy Spirit's praying out of you. So for you to say that's demonic or gibberish, to me, Jared, I hear people say it's gibberish, you're making it up. I'm like, that's scary. That's scary. You're mocking God. So yeah, it's a little bit, to me, very dangerous territory, guys. Be respectful. We're talking about the Holy Spirit tonight. We're talking about the presence of God. We're both very passionate about it. You know, to me, you should be more worried about offending the Holy Ghost than offending me. Yes. Like, hey, I don't want to offend. Isaiah. Don't worry. Go ahead.
I was literally just going to say that same phrase is, when we start debating about this, we seldom think how we are offending the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Like, he came, and this is how he literally birthed the church with tongues of fire, but also everyone was speaking in new languages, praying new languages, whatever you want to say, you know, not debating the semantics. But literally, this was a gift from the Holy Spirit, and here we're literally pushing the Holy Spirit aside and saying, I don't want this gift. I don't believe in this. This is hard for me. And Jesus, whenever, you know, he talked about when Lazarus he raises, I'm not sorry, Lazarus, but when John the Baptist's disciples come to him and he goes, hey, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are being raised. And he says this, he goes, blessed are those who are not offended by me. And good. We are so offended by the Holy Spirit. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit. We need to yep. honor the Holy Spirit. And we want all of his gifts. We don't want to just put him in a box and say, I'm only comfortable with this because these other areas of the Holy Spirit are not, they're not easy for me to understand.
Come on.
Isaiah, I want everything. I don't want to leave anything Same. Left on the table before I go to heaven. I want to have the full experience of what Jesus promised when he said, it's better if I go because the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when he comes, he's going to fill you with power. He'll be your counselor. He'll be your helper. He'll remind you of all truth. I want everything that Jesus promised. And I want the Holy Spirit alive on the inside of me with full permission, full access. I don't want to hinder him. I don't want to be the lid on my life telling the Holy Spirit, you can't do this. I don't want that. And I think that that's what's happened, and people enjoy it. People have lived without power, without praying in tongues for so long, and they're living without the life of God.
Yes.
What are we talking about? The river of life flowing out of us. But you've seen those people, Isaiah. You've yep. seen the people that have the river of God flowing out of them. There is something different in their eyes. There's something Come different on. In their countenance. And that's what we need. And I go back to, that's the deficiency in the body of Christ right now. We literally need to move towards with anticipation. I love what you just said. When you opened up, you said, I'm coming with faith. I'm coming with arms wide open. My heart's ready. I'm not coming in with resentment, with arrogance. I'm not coming in with all of these apprehensions. No, I'm coming in expecting that tonight is my night. If you are believing that tonight's your night, I want you to type one in the chat, because I believe that you are going to be filled with the power of God. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are going to start speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, whatever you want to say, and God is going to fill you, and you are going to become that river of life. And so many people, I have a good friend named Keith. I remember when the night he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he said literally at 10 p.m., he sent me this text message and said, my heart was inked forever by the Holy Ghost. I will never be the same person. His marriage changed. The way he raises kids changed. I have another good friend, Ryan. He literally got baptized in the Holy Spirit, starts speaking in tongues, driving home from a men's retreat. He goes to his senior pastor's house. It's like 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The pastor looks at him and goes, dude, you are on fire. What happened? He goes, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He goes, come in. They do a Sunday night service and revival breaks out in this little 40-person church. What was the difference? It was literally the baptism of the Holy Spirit filled with power, speaking in new tongues, and this changed this man's whole life.
Come on.
Then he started praying for people. Miracles started manifesting. Why are we not doing this, Isaiah?
Come on.
Why are we pushing the Holy Spirit in the corner?
That's right.
Why do we keep treating him like he's the weird cousin that shows up at Thanksgiving that nobody wants to talk to, and we wonder why we don't see miracles? We wonder why we don't have power. We wonder why there's nothing breaking out in our churches, that everything's dry and dull, is because we have learned how to lead these TED Talk services with one fast and two slow and thinking this is church. No, the church was made to operate in power. The Bible says in the book of Acts that many dared not join them because of the power that they were moving in. We need the power restored in the church.
That's right. And that's what praying in tongues is. To me, it's spiritually working out. It's like a generator. It creates power. It connects you to God. It's the Holy Spirit praying the perfect will of God out of you. One lady just said, I happened to me when I was 20. I got tongues. And the side effect, that's what she says in the chat, Nancy on Facebook, the side effect was a hunger to read the Bible. I'm 74 and I still pray in tongues. She's Come been praying on. In tongues for 54 years. Am I bad at math? No, I'm right. That's 54 years she's been praying in tongues. And I want to talk about, too, and we're going to go into our stories, the side effects. There's a couple people, again, like I said in the chat, saying it's not biblical, blah, 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 which to me is crazy because we have a bunch of verses we're going to give you guys. But I do want to say this, and this is just an interesting idea that I'd never heard a pastor say and most pastors won't talk about. Okay. Just to point out, just this might be some of you. Again, I'm not trying to throw you guys under the bus. I just want to make sure we're covering our bases here. I have done deliverances, Jared, and if you're in the chat, I got to remember not all of you know what deliverance is. Deliverance is exorcism. It's when you cast a demon out of somebody in Jesus' name. Jesus did it all throughout scripture, Mark 1:39. He went from synagogue to synagogue casting out demons. My point is, when I've cast demons out of people, I've had people tell me before their deliverance, Isaiah, I don't know what it is, but I hate tongues. When people speak in tongues, I start getting angry. My heart starts racing. I get upset. I start getting rage and sweaty. And I just hate tongues. I don't know why. I grew up in a church that they don't believe in it. And maybe that's why. Okay. And they try to figure out why they hated tongues. Because I know there's some of you in a little bit later, we're going to pray in tongues and talk about it. And you're going to be all manifesting and angry. I want you to know those same people I talked to, and I've had this happen to me several times, they went through deliverance, they got the demons cast out of them, and praise the Lord, they love tongues now, okay? Some of them even speak in tongues. But my point was, the unclean spirit that was living on the inside of them, Matthew chapter 12, the spirits live in us and call us their home, was making them hate tongues. The unclean spirit in them was making them hate the things of the spirit. Because at the end of the day, tongues is a byproduct of the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You cannot get tongues without the Holy Spirit. You can get demonic tongues, which I'll talk about later, but that's not what we're discussing. Genuine tongues is a byproduct of the baptism of the Holy Spirit according to Scripture. And if you're mad about it or hate it, there's something going on. There's an unholy spirit in you that's making you mad towards the Holy Spirit, and you can get free and you can get delivered tonight, praise the Lord. But just know there might be some demons crawling around in you that don't like tongues. So that's something to add. But I want to talk about, Jared, our
Isaiah,
stories.
I got to jump in.
Go for it.
Have to say it is definitely a religious spirit. Every time you start speaking in tongues, it's the religious spirit that flares up, that rises up, that says, you can't do that here. Religious spirits, when Jesus encountered the religious spirit wants control. That's all it does. It wants to control. And even when Peter and John were brought into question right after, you know, the Holy Spirit shows up, tongues of fire, they're all speaking new languages. All of this breaks out. They heal a man who was lame since birth. And what do the religious leaders do? They tell them, hey, we can't deny that this is a miracle, but here's what we want you to do. We want you to kind of stay under our lordship. Just don't say that Jesus, that it was the power of Jesus that did this. And that's what the religious spirit does. It wants to have this form of godliness without power. It wants to say, hey, we want the spirit to move in our church and I'm spirit led, but I don't want any tongues. You see where I'm going here. Trying to take parts of the Holy Spirit and shove the other parts out the door. It does not work. And that religious devil, that religious spirit wants control. And we're going to serve notice tonight.
Yeah.
We are going to take this thing. We are going to rebuke it. We are going to send it back to hell where it belongs.
Come on.
That's Jesus was always aggressive with the religious spirit. He was so kind and compassionate to the sinner. But anytime and why was he aggressive towards it? Because it eventually killed him. It was the religious spirit. And so we have to be very cognizant. And I'm the first one to say, Lord, search my heart.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't want this. God, if there's any RDs, I call them religious devils, and me, deal with them.
Them when you have a name for them, a little nickname.
Yeah.
Jared, let me put something to rest, because I was going to do this way later, but I keep seeing it over and over in the chat, and I'll just call someone out that's saying it. There's someone named Buckley's Angel, and they said this: if someone else cannot understand you, then you're not speaking in tongues. Okay, so this has been repeated in the chat tonight. They're basically saying it has to be a known language. It has to be a language in the world, which, by the way, just a side note, if I spoke German right now, it would sound like gibberish to those that don't know German. So for those who are like, it sounds like gibberish, yeah, because you don't know the language. But my point is, some people believe in the chat right now that it has to be a known language that someone else can understand, or it's not tongues. Let me just, for Buckley's Angel in the chat, let me just debunk and disprove you in one verse, okay? I want you to open your Bible, Buckley's Angel, to 1 Corinthians 14:2. I'm just going to read it. Very easy, very clear. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Okay, are you ready for this, Buckley? For no one understands him. So your comment about if someone else can't understand, you're not speaking in tongues. This is what your Bible says. The Apostle Paul, which probably knows more than you and me, says, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So what is it saying? There is a tongue that you can interpret, and there's also a tongue that's a language you don't know previously, and now you're speaking in it. So for example, say you go to some tribe that you've never been to, and you want to preach the gospel, and all of a sudden you start speaking in their language, the gospel, and you don't even know that language. That's also relevant. But Paul says there is a tongue where no one can understand you. So this is not a known language. This is not a language in the world. This is not some tribal dialect. This is a language no one understands, for you speak to men, you speak to God, not to man, and in the spirit, you're speaking mysteries. So I just want to put that to rest. I know that was at the end of the broadcast. We're going to talk about that, but I just keep seeing it over and over and over in the chat. We're also going to discuss people say, well, Paul said you must have an interpreter. Very simple there. Paul was saying, don't preach a message in tongues because new people are going to be confused. He was not talking about praying in tongues. And I'm even going to show you later that Paul prayed in tongues more than everybody. So Paul was praying in tongues in private, guys. It's all through scripture. But before we go into all that, and I told you, Jared, we are not going to get to all these notes, bro. I sent Jared a list of notes, a list of points, and we're not getting to all of them. But
it was like
I wanted
Dead Sea Scroll when I opened it up. I was
come
like, what
on.
In the world is
Dead Sea Scrolls. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Because I love listening to podcasts when people tell relevant stories, right? Sometimes when I listen to podcasts and they're just heavy on teaching, that's great and that's good. But sometimes I'm like, I want to hear a testimony. I want to hear the story. I want to know how this person spoke in tongues for the first time. Let's get nitty gritty. What were you feeling? So you start, Jared. I want to know the first time you spoke in tongues. Tell us what you're thinking. Tell us how it happened. Did you have a history? Did you hear it before that? And then how it's changed your life. How often you speak in it. But I really want to go practical here with your first experience, and then I'll after go into my first experience. And I think our testimonies here are going to help some people that are new or have never spoken tongues, or maybe we'll run some of these RD, these religious demons, out of the chat by sharing our stories. But you start and then I'll go after you.
Yeah. So I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues when I was 8 years old. My dad,
name's
Jeff.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and he loves to pray for people. So this can give you hope if you have children. They don't have to be 13, they don't have to be 16, they don't have to be 18. I was 8 years old and my dad prayed for me, and he would always come into my room. And I love this. As parents, if you have kids, pray for your kids at night. Literally, yeah. Just go into their room, pray for them. My wife prays for all of our kids. It's really cool. I encourage you to do that. They will remember that forever. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in my bed. My dad was praying for me. I started speaking in tongues. This wasn't something that I was like used to, or I'm like, okay, I got to do this. It literally, the power hit me. I started speaking in tongues. Then from that day forward, for many, many years, until I was a teenager, my dad would walk into my room and he would just start praying in tongues. And then I would join him and we would do it synonymously with each other. And so that was like my heritage. That was my history growing up. It was not weird to me. It was normal. It was normal to hear my mom, when she was getting ready in the morning, singing in the spirit. And maybe we can talk about that. She would sing songs in the spirit. And then later, as I got older, I realized when you start going through spiritual warfare and you start having attacks, and I started having a lot more kids and you start getting a little impatient, I started praying a lot more in the spirit and started learning the importance of it. And it's totally revolutionized my life. I tell everybody, I can't be who I am, I can't be a good father. I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good employee without being led by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit. Like, I owe everything to the Holy Spirit. And I get emotional when I hear so many people criticizing the third person of the Trinity. I really get, it's hard, because the Holy Spirit is my best friend. And without him, I would be nowhere. And nobody, like, when's the last time you've ever heard anybody say, I love you, Holy Spirit?
That's right.
Nobody, like, we only talk about the Father, we talk about Jesus the Son, but we never put, I mean, he is God just as much as Jesus and the Father is, and yet we treat him so differently. And I think for me growing up, I realized that I watched my parents, I watched my grandparents, and I heard the stories, I heard the testimonies, and it was all always brought back to the Holy Spirit, to the baptism of the Spirit. It was always brought back to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And it was never brought back to, I went to a convention, I went to a church growth strategy meeting, I went to this conference. It was always, man, I was alone with the Holy Spirit. And he gave me this download. And I wouldn't have known what to do if he didn't speak to me. And so that's what we need to do with the Holy Spirit, is like, we need to build ourselves up. We need to encourage. I walk around through the airport. There's a lot of people from other countries, and people just think I'm an international person, but I'm praying in tongues as I walk around. My kids are like, they're so used to it now. They don't even say anything. It's pretty hilarious.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I wanted to say too, Jared, if we're just speaking gibberish, I know I'm kind of like going to the critics here, just because I know there's critics and I know people want to know and they're trying to understand. But if it was just gibberish, there would be no fruit in it. There would be no life change in that, in speaking in tongues. And you and I can both name story after story of something supernatural happening to us as a byproduct of a life of praying in tongues, of praying in the spirit. So the idea that it's gibberish or you're just making, you know, whatever up, should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Kia. Like we're making up these words. It's just, it's beyond ignorant. It's beyond stupid to say you guys are just making up gibberish when we have to look at the fruit of it. Is the fruit of gibberish me not wanting to drink anymore, me not wanting to party anymore, me not cussing anymore, me not going in the world anymore? For me, I walk to an altar. I won't share my whole story because it's all over YouTube, but I walk to an altar as a quote-unquote atheist, more agnostic, but I thought I was an atheist. I didn't know what I was because the devil will confuse you. You don't even know left, right, boy, girl. Nowadays, no one even knows what they are. My cat, my dog, who knows? The devil gets you all confused. And I walk to the altar as a quote-unquote atheist, and my salvation encounter was much different than yours because I had only heard tongues one time in my entire life, okay? Wow. And I have a core memory of, I don't know how old I was, 5, 6, 7, 8, who knows? But I was a little kid. I was before I was 8 because I wasn't living out in the Central Valley yet. But I was a little kid. I have a core memory of seeing my mom and dad walking back and forth in our living room praying in this language that made no sense to me. I had no clue. So I just have one memory of it, okay? So mind you, that's all I know. That's all I have. My church that at the time that we grew up in, they didn't speak in tongues. I stopped going to church at 16. Now I'm 19. Mind you, I have not heard tongues since I was a little boy. I have no point of reference, no clue, nothing. Wow. And I go to the altar. I have my salvation experience where God speaks to me audibly. I'm born again. I'm crying. I put my faith in Jesus. I feel the Holy Spirit come over me. And I had this encounter with God where I came to. And as I came back to, whether it was my body or out of the vision, whatever it was, in my body, out of my body, I don't know. But when I came to, I was speaking in this weird language that I remember I only heard once in my entire life. And I remember in the moment trying to cover my mouth because my girlfriend was standing next to me at the altar at this time. And my girlfriend was not raised in church. She didn't know anything about God. And so I covered my mouth and I was like, what is this? But you guys got to remember, I didn't try to make it come out. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't even know what it was. It was just flowing out of me like a river of living water. And here's what I know. And here's what I want to touch on more than theology. I have video after video of all the theology, all the scriptures. Here's what I want to touch on. The fruit, Jared, the fruit of Isaiah Saldivar. I can only speak for myself. Speaking in tongues that night, being born again and being baptized, I went from somebody who was addicted to pornography for years, somebody that hated God, was angry, bitter, depressed, racist, drinking almost every day. Almost every sentence I said the F word. I had the dirtiest mouth, guys, of anybody you know. My mouth was so dirty, Jared. My friends in the world were like, bro, you need to go to see like therapy because you say the craziest. Like I would say the most demonic. I didn't know back then it was demonic, but I would say the most perverted, demonic, twisted things ever. So, okay, now that's Isaiah before. Now I get born again. I start speaking in tongues. I get filled with the Holy Spirit. 13 years later, I have never said another cuss word. I have never gone back to pornography. I've never had a thought or a desire to drink in my life. I've never had a thought or a desire to turn my back on God. I've been serving the Lord faithfully, walking in holiness ever since. Tongues has been a massive part of the journey. And the fruit of tongues, some of you are like, it's gibberish, it's demonic. The fruit of tongues is good. A consecrated mouth and a consecrated life. So for me, here's what my point in all this, okay, of me and Jared sharing. If you want to know the root, you have to look at the fruit. If you want to know if the root of tongues is gibberish, which some of you, again, my mind's blown that you think that, but it's okay. You'll get there. Or say gibberish or demonic. How do I know if it's demonic? Well, look at the fruit. Is the fruit turning you from God? Is the fruit making you angry, bitter, lustful, resentful? Do you get lustful when you pray in tongues? And of course, the answer is no. But my point is, Jared, if we want to look at the legitimacy of something, we can look at the scripture, which we're going to show you guys, but let's look at the fruit of what tongues does. And let's also look at the millions. And some of you cessationist reform guys, you're going to be squirming in your chair, but listen, your guys' movement's dying, our movement's growing, just saying. The fruit of the charismatic movement is world missions. The charismatic movement has more missionaries, more people than any other sect of the church, and growing, and millions of charismatics speak in tongues. So I'm just saying that whole cessationist, like tongues aren't for today, is dying out, in my opinion. Well, we could just look at the numbers, and the charismatic movement is massively exploding and all over the world. And you can just Google this, 5 minutes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will grow his church. The Holy Spirit will have his way. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. He's for today. He wants to pray out of you. He wants to empower you. If it happened in the Bible, praise the Lord that our God, Hebrews says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can still see what God did then today. Go ahead, Jared, if you want to say something, and then we'll kind of jump into some verses here.
I was just going to say, too, like the fruit of praying in tongues, too, is that you are literally like getting to open up heaven's mailbox. You get mysteries and secrets. You start to understand things that you would have never known unless you started praying in tongues. And then you like even preparing for tonight, I was just walking around my house praying in tongues all day long. And then the Holy Spirit would speak something to me. And when Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Bible says that Jesus told him, you need to take off those grave clothes and let him go. And some of you need to shed that old man. Some of you have been carrying around those religious works, all those things. And that's the reason, like you're holding on to the past. You keep identifying with the guy in the grave. You need to take off that old identity, and those clothes don't fit you anymore. And there's a reason why you're so uncomfortable right now is God wants to set you free. Literally, the Holy Ghost is dying to get out. And you're trying to keep him like sheltered in, boxed in, and he was made to have supernatural power in you and flowing out of you. And so I believe tonight is going to be such a powerful night for people. I had so much expectation, Isaiah, just knowing that this, even though it's such a debated topic, even though that the camp that believes that they ceased and they're not for today, or it's devil tongues, all the different objections, man, it is such a wonderful gift that I want all of my children to have. I want all of my family to have. I want all of my friends to have. If this was so bad and so rotten, I mean, there wouldn't be amazing fruit like you said, and it wouldn't be spreading like wildfire. I remember a missionary that was part of the camp that doesn't believe in the gifts, doesn't even believe, like they're making videos about us, about how we're not even, you know, spirit led. This is all, you know, of the devil. They send missionaries to foreign countries. And because of the level of witchcraft in these villages, they're like, oh, we need to get what those other Pentecostal missionaries have, because we are not fully equipped to handle the attack, to handle the spiritual warfare. So I'm sorry, I'm ripping up my card that says that tongues aren't for today. I actually need the power. I need the Holy Ghost operating in me, or I'm not going to last. Those stories are happening more and more and more. And so that we actually need this to survive with the onslaught of perversion that's coming against this generation. We need it. I'll tell you right now, if you are struggling with anxiety and you're right now watching this, if you start praying in tongues, I guarantee in 60 seconds, the peace of God is going to flood you. Isaiah, I wake up to coffee and praying in tongues. That's what I do. It is a wonderful combination. And immediately, tears start manifesting. My heart starts getting clean. I start getting washed and I start getting renewed. And my ears literally get tuned to his voice. And I start hearing amazing phrases. I start getting filled with gratitude. Instead of being anxious or worried about what I don't have, I start thanking the Lord for what I do have. And it's this wonderful connection that I'll never want to go back. Like, this is what I was born for, to have this amazing intimacy with God. And it's all a byproduct of me praying in tongues.
And you can get it tonight. Jennifer Brown said that the stream is not live, but the chat is. Guys, we are live, all right? Just read your chat. Jennifer Brown, we are live as can be. And the Holy Spirit's alive. And the Holy Spirit wants to move and wants to fill you. Let me give you guys quickly three instances in the scripture just to build the quick framework and foundation. And we are going to go into like this whole theological thing. We'll probably go into more of the benefits and practical. But let me give you guys three places in the Bible where they got the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in tongues. They begin to pray in tongues, speak in tongues. Again, you can use these synonymously because prayer is just speaking to God. All right, so if you say speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, this is most famous one is Acts 2. You guys can read this later. It's the day of Pentecost. This is the most famous instance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, basically the apostles are gathered and the Holy Spirit comes on them as tongues of fire. And the Bible says they begin to speak in other languages. And many people in Jerusalem heard them and were basically like, how do they know our foreign language? How do they know our foreign dialect? So this was them speaking in languages, actual languages that they didn't know previously as a sign of the Holy Spirit being poured out. So one of the functions of tongues is speaking a foreign language that you did not know otherwise. Okay, so that did happen in Acts 2. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. This is when Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household. And in this preaching, the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius and his house, which are Gentiles. They spoke in tongues, the Bible says, and praise God. And this was the marking event for the inclusion of the Gentiles into the Christian community. So the point was, the Holy Spirit falling upon them, Jared, and them speaking in tongues, it was God saying to Peter, who, guys, remember, at the time, Peter did not believe that salvation and the Holy Spirit was for the Gentiles. But right. This was the mark. God says, okay, I'm going to fill them with the Holy Spirit and they're going to speak in tongues. This would be the mark. Peter was now going to go back to Jerusalem and tell the leaders, God has validated that the message is for the Gentiles because he poured out his Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. So that's Acts 10. Okay, so all right, now Acts 19. Paul comes, finds some disciples in Ephesus who received the baptism of John, but had not heard about the Holy Spirit. Paul said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. We don't even know what you're talking about. Laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues and they began to prophesy. So here I just gave you three places in the New Testament where they got the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in tongues. All right, now let me get a little spicy for some of you guys. Go ahead.
What did Paul see that provoked him to ask that question to those believers in Acts chapter 19? Think about that. There was something missing in these disciples that he was normally seeing in his community. He was normally seeing this overflow of the river of life so that when he saw these disciples, he said, there's something different about you. Have you not received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, or baptized in the Holy Spirit? They're like, we don't even know what you're talking about. We were baptized. And I think that question should be asked too. If Paul showed up to our churches today, would he be asking the same question? Would he be seeing something that's missing in a believer's life that was a very stark mark? It was something that everyone had. And it was like the defining mark. Like, I don't know. I think, Isaiah, we need this more now than ever before. Yeah. And that's why I'm excited that you're talking about it. Seems like nobody else will talk about it. The other voices talking about it are talking against it. Yeah. So I'm thankful that you have decided to speak up. And guess what? I know the Holy Spirit's excited. And I know the Holy Spirit's like, oh my gosh, tonight's going to be a night. So many people are going to be filled. They're going to start praying in tongues. And this is going to be supernatural for all of them. And it's going to change generations to come. What an amazing night. So if you're in the chat, I just want to encourage you, get ready. Get your expectations. I mean, just have them up high and get ready for what God's about to do.
And for those going like, is it for me? Yes, it's for you. Now I'm going to say something that might be controversial. This is my personal belief. I believe there are many people that have gotten filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember guys, at salvation, you get sealed with the Holy Spirit, but at baptism, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's undoubtedly another event that happens or else Jesus would have never said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He would have just said, you're saved. You're sealed, you're good to go. But what we're going to see in the early church is over and over again, there's a specific encounter, a specific moment where they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. I personally believe that you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and never have spoken in tongues, but I believe you have the ability to. So let me give you an example. I have a friend that got baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? And how did you know that, Isaiah? Because his life was radically changed. Desires change. He was empowered. He was laying hands on the sick. He was casting out demons. All of this stuff. The signs of being baptized in the Holy Spirit were all there. But he had never spoken or prayed, we're going to use those synonymously, in tongues before. So one day we're talking. He's like, man, I know I've been baptized. I felt the Holy Spirit come from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I felt his power on me. But I never got tongues before. And I said, bro, I believe you have it. Now, you might have it and you've never opened your mouth and spoken it. For many of you, God is not going to force your mouth. Okay, let me just give you an example. When I prophesy, Jared, I don't sit here and go, okay, Holy Spirit, prophesy out of me.
So good.
And just sit there. I don't do that. That's not how prophecy works. The spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. What do you have to do, Jared? You have to open up your mouth and you have to prophesy. And Paul said, take turns prophesying. So it is actually, for those of you who think, well, prophecy is not on demand. Yes, it is. Paul said, you're in control of your prophecy because the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. And Paul said, take turns and prophesy. But again, that's another story. My point is, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will not overwhelm you. You have to open your mouth and speak out in faith, and you'll feel it sometimes bubbling up and you speak it out. Okay, so I'm telling my friend this. I said, I know you've been filled. I know you've been baptized. You just have never spoken it. I believe you can because you have the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that gives all the gifts, right? One Spirit, all the gifts.
Yes.
And so we sat together, and within the next 5 minutes, I laid hands on him. We just prayed, Lord, let him open his mouth. Lord, break the unbelief. Because a lot of times our mind is what prevents us from praying or speaking in tongues. And we're going to talk 100%. About that later when we pray about it. And guys, within 5 minutes, he's praying in tongues. And he's been doing it for years and his life was changed by it. My point was, I personally believe he had it. He just had never opened up his mouth and spoke out in it. Because how many of you know, I'm about to preach, you can close your mouth. Because I'll prove it. You haven't shared your faith in months. Your mouth's been closed. You close your mouth. So it's possible the Holy Spirit's filling you, baptizing you, but just like where our mouth is closed because we never witnessed to anybody, our mouth is closed and we don't speak in tongues, even though we can. Some of you could speak in Spanish right now. Many of you can. And some of you would say, man, I haven't spoken in Spanish, Jared, in like a year. I haven't spoken in Spanish in like 2 years. You haven't, but you can. So just because you haven't doesn't mean you can't. And some of you haven't in years, although you can. So that is my personal belief. I don't have a tons of like concrete, this guy had the Holy Spirit, but didn't speak in tongues, and a year later spoke in tongues. I just, from the last 13 years of praying and seeing thousands upon thousands of people baptized and speaking in tongues. And then I've literally prayed for thousands of people that are like, I want it so bad. I know I have the Holy Spirit, and saw them get it right away. I would say, do you have any thoughts on that, Jared? This idea of you have to when you're filled, or do you believe some people have the Holy Spirit and have been baptized? They just have never opened their mouth and stepped out in faith, or maybe there's a traditional wall or there's a religious wall up that's preventing them from speaking out what's already in them?
Yeah, I think it's all of those things. I don't think it's one size fits all. I think that you definitely have people that get it like really quick, right off the bat. It's just part of their life. And then you have people that go through years of struggle. And I don't know why they do. I don't know if it's something they watch, if it's just them being in their head. You know, a lot of people go, I just want to make sure it's real. I just want to make sure it's not me. I just,
yeah,
and you,
so
you start playing those mind games over and over and over. I remember speaking at this youth conference, and this is what's going to happen tonight, Isaiah. This family brings their son up to the front of the church wanting me to pray for him. And as they walk forward, they said, our son is the only one in our family that hasn't, you know, started praying in tongues. We just know that tonight's his night. He's got so much expectation. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for him and it's going to happen. Not because I'm special or anything, but because you guys all have faith. All of you guys have expectation. Isaiah, before I could even lay my hands on him, he falls down and just starts speaking in tongues. The whole place went crazy. And I mean, literally, and I didn't know what else to do, but we just started praying for other people. Everybody started getting filled. But it was this level of expectation. And I think sometimes we come without expectation. We come with reservation. I don't know. I don't know if I want it. I don't know. And listen, tonight, I just hope that as you hear this teaching, that God is going to start removing some of those mental obstacles that have been keeping you, because the enemy doesn't want you to pray in tongues. The enemy wants to keep you locked away and keep you not powerful, not connected, you know, to the Holy Spirit. He wants to keep you subdued, but this is a powerful gift. This is a powerful moment that you can experience, and I believe it's going to happen tonight.
So good. And Jared, I want to discuss that as well, and then we'll go into some of the benefits, because I already knew we were going to go 40 minutes and not even get into point one. But I want to address this point of, is it for everyone? Because there's some of you that believe that it's only for certain people. And I'm going to show you why you believe that and where that's at in the Bible. But I want to first say, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians, there's different kinds of tongues. So 1 Corinthians 12:10, this is very important. There's different kinds of tongues. So there's not just one kind of tongue. So let me be very clear and very basic. I'm going to try to keep it super simple. There's a type of tongue where you can speak a message to the congregation and then you can interpret it, because the Bible says pray that you would interpret your own tongue, or somebody else can interpret it and there's a message. That's a gift. I don't believe everybody has that calling or has that gift. There's another type of tongue. Remember, 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's different kinds of tongues. So remember, there's not just one type of speaking in tongues. There's another kind where you are at a village somewhere, for example, and you don't know their language, but all of a sudden you start speaking their language and preaching the gospel to them in their language. That's happened. There's many testimonies of that. That's another kind of tongue. Yes. Then there's another kind of tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2, where you're praying, you're speaking just to God, not to man, for no one understands you. In the spirit, you speak mysteries. And then Jude talks about praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up by praying in the spirit. That I believe is for everybody. But let me really quick debunk the, this isn't for everybody. So Mark 16:17, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons and they'll speak with new tongues. So that's all those that believe, they will do these things. Okay, so those of you that might say, well, the Paul talks about how it's not for everyone. Let me break this down. Give me one or two Pentecostal minutes. 1 Corinthians 12:27 through 28. This is what Paul says. Now you are the body of Christ. So let's be clear. Paul's talking about the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. So what is Paul now talking about, Jared? Positions in the church. Okay, chat, write that down. Positions in the church. This is not talking about one gift. This is talking about positions, okay? This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:28. He says, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, then helps, then administrations, then varieties of tongues. So what is Paul talking about, Jared? Ministries. Yes. Ministries of administration. Ministries of help. Is Paul referring to your private life? No, he's referring to you having a ministry in the body of Christ. Apostle is a ministry. Prophet is a ministry. Teacher is a ministry. Working of miracles is a miracle ministry. Gifts of healings, helps is a ministry. Okay, so then he says varieties of tongues. In this passage, now let's go to verses 29 through 30. Paul's talking about, again, ministries, not specific people ministries. Verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 12. Are all apostles? Paul's asking this. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is no, not everybody operates in all these ministries. In other words, Paul is saying, you're not going to be the one-man show in the church where you're the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the worker, the tongue speaker, the miracle worker, the gifts of healings, the helps ministry, the ministry. Paul says, no. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. So Paul, when Paul says here, it's not everybody will have this. He's talking about ministries in the body of Christ. Not all will have this public tongue ministry. So I hope I'm making this clear. Paul is not saying you can't have this in your private life. Paul is saying you will not have this public ministry in the church. Now, let me prove it to you further, okay? Because you're like, well, it wasn't crystal clear. 1 Corinthians 14:5, here's what Paul's going to go on to say. I wish you all spoke in tongues. That's word for word, open your Bible and read it, what the apostle Paul said. I wish you all spoke with tongues. So yes. If tongues is the Holy Spirit praying out of you, why would God not want to give that to somebody? Why would God not want someone to have that? So I believe this is accessible to every single believer. And again, I already talked about how it's not always a foreign language. There's a heavenly language, which is 1 Corinthians 14:2. But remember, this is what's the confusions on, Jared, this one point. It's different types of tongues. So no, all of you are not going to stand on stage and speak a foreign language that some tribe knows about. No, not all of you are going to speak a message and interpret it a tongue in front of the church. Those are ministries. No one's everything, but I believe all of you have access to pray in the spirit as the spirit gives you utterance and the Holy Spirit will pray out of you. I don't see why God would withhold that from people, but I think that's some of the confusion. Do you have any thoughts on what I shared, Jared? I know it's a lot. I was just trying to make it concise.
No, it's really good. I think that so much of what's happening right now is that we are debating about these small little things and these nuances instead of just being open. Like, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want to pray in tongues.
Yes.
And if he gives you the gift of tongues, like you mentioned, praise God. You are going to be used in the church and it's going to be powerful. And maybe somebody will have the gift of healing and miracles and or maybe the gift of faith. We should stop trying to major on the minors is what I'm trying to say, is like we need to be just open as believers. I love what a good evangelist will say. He'll walk into a church, he'll hear all of the debating, or he'll sit in the boardroom and listen to all that. And he goes, there's people dying outside right now,
yes,
going to hell. And why are we sitting here debating all this? And there's so much work to be done. There's so much ministry to do. And there's so many things that God is trying to equip us. But like what we're talking about tonight, this was a non-essential. This was an essential. It was a non-negotiable for believers back in the early church. We need this right now. It is a deficiency in the body of Christ. And I really believe that this is going to help us prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
That's good. And let me give you guys two more verses why Paul, those of you who are saying, well, Paul prohibited it, let me show you why he did. It's very, very simple. Again, just very simple. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Paul says this, even so, if unbelievers or people who do not understand these things come into your church meeting. Look at this, Jared. Now we know Paul's talking about a church meeting,
yes,
right? Not a private life. Not a prayer, yes, stream. So for example, we're going to start praying in tongues in a few minutes, and you're going to say, you can't do that without interpreter. Yes, we can. Because what is Paul saying? Church meeting. This is not a, yes, church meeting. We are not in a building. We are on a prayer teaching, and we're going to do a prayer live stream here in a minute. But listen, he says, if they come to your church meeting and everyone's speaking in an unknown language, they'll think you're crazy. Okay, so Paul is saying, listen, Corinth, don't preach sermons in tongues if you don't interpret. That is why Paul will go on to say, make sure you have an interpreter. But Jared, we've twisted this up and we've said we shouldn't be speaking in tongues in church, when that's not what Paul said. Paul said, don't be giving messages because people can't understand you. And amen. I agree. I would never get up. Imagine, guys, I imagine your pastor invites me. We promote it. A bunch of people come and I get up, take the mic. And for 40 minutes, you invited all your unsaved family and friends. Like, hey, I want you to hear this guy. God wants to touch you. And all your old unsaved family and friends are there. Okay, imagine that. You're all there. You're at my service. I get up for 45 minutes and just speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. That's it. Speak in tongues. And then I get down and say, thank you guys for coming. Your family and friends are going to be like, that dude's crazy. He spoke. We don't even know what he said. This is what they were doing. And what was Paul saying, Jared? Interpret. If you're going to do that, that's fine. And then actually, I won't go into it, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:28, one or two or three at most should speak in tongues, and then someone's interpret. The point is, you don't want to confuse people by it. Okay, so now let's skip all that and go to this. So we know it's okay. Don't forbid it. Paul was talking about on the stage as the speaker. Look at this really quickly here. 1 Corinthians 14:18. This is Paul. Now I'm going to quote it. I won't even interrupt myself, all right, because I do that a lot. I'm just going to quote it word for word straight through with no interruption. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Paul said, I quote, beginning quote, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others than 10,000 words in tongue, end quote. So now we know, Jared, Paul speaks in tongues more than everybody, more than, yes, all of you, more than me, more than you. Yet Paul says in church, and I'm just paraphrasing, he says, I'm not speaking in tongues in church. He said, I would rather speak 10,000 words in English than I would rather speak 10,000 words in a tongue than, I'm sorry, I would rather speak five words in my with my understanding than 10,000 words in tongue. So then we ask ourselves, where is Paul speaking in tongues, Jared? If he says, I'm doing it more than all of you, and he's not doing it in church, somebody type in the chat, Paul must be doing it. I'm just using basic conclusion. He must be doing it in private. Why is Paul speaking in tongues in private? Because he's not doing it in church. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 14:2, we circle all the way back around. When I pray in tongues or speak in tongues, I speak to God, not to man, and I profit myself. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why speaking in tongues is so powerful and why we want to do it. Jared, give us some, and then we're going to start praying because I know we're an hour in, and just give us a few and we'll go through these quick. What are some of the benefits or some of the things that happens when we're speaking in tongues? Or I just say it's spiritually working out. I mean, some of you guys, yeah, in here, you're way more ripped than me. I would say speaking in tongues is spiritually working out. It's the Spirit praying out of you. But is there any other benefits you want to throw in there before we start praying that tongues do in our life?
Yeah. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves.
Good.
And so, like you said, it's working out. But also, when I start to feel dull,
Yes, come on.
Dry spiritually, anyone else? Sometimes it's a daily struggle, all right? If I have a go-to song, give me 5 minutes. Those tongues spiritually awaken me, and I feel alive on the inside. Some of us, you know, I love to fish. Isaiah used to love to fish. Pray for him. He's backslidden. But I love to fish, and when I take a fish out of the water and it's flopping around, it's wanting to get back into the atmosphere in which it was created. We were designed to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be flowing with the Spirit, and that's the atmosphere in which we were created for. And so when we start to pray in the Spirit, all of a sudden, or praying in tongues, guess what happens? The Spirit fills the atmosphere.
So good.
We start to come alive, and then we start to, all of a sudden, my mind's clear. All of a sudden, my thoughts begin to change. All of a sudden, I start thinking about heavenly things instead of earthly things. I start thinking about eternity instead of just my temporal issues that are going on in my life. And so that's like one of the things that starts to change on the inside of me. And I believe that's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And we need to start practicing it. I love what Corey Russell said to me in the car when we were driving to be on your podcast. He said, he starts praying in tongues and he goes, come on, McAkron, knock the dust off those tongues. I mean, because he could go for hours, you know, and I was like 15 minutes in getting a little tired. But, you know, I realized he has built himself up through edification, through encouragement over years and years and years. It just becomes part of who we are and it just flows out of us.
That's good. And it's the perfect prayer. It's the Holy Spirit praying the perfect prayer, praying the will of God. Romans talks about that. It's like the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and words that cannot, with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So the Holy Spirit knows our prayers. I think Pastor Glenn said it a few weeks ago when he was preaching. He was like, if you pray in English, you might say, Lord, I pray that you give me that new car. I pray you open the door. And then if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit say, Lord, they don't need that new car. Don't give them that new car. So the point is the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God, right? If you're going through a hard situation, your prayers might be prayers of unbelief and anxiety. Lord, why did my family member pass away? Well, how could you do this to me? The Holy Spirit would pray, I know exactly why this happened. Lord, I know you're still with me. God, I know you're moving. So the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the only one that knows the Spirit of God is God's own Spirit. The only one knowing that the thoughts of God is God's own Spirit. And that is why the Bible says in Jude 1:20, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the power of the Holy Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost. So this, it's very, very powerful when you start praying in the Spirit. We want to create a culture, and I say we because Jared's channel is linked down below, but he's doing prayer streams, worship streams, make sure everybody subscribes. We want to create a culture, and we have weekly prayer meetings, we do as well, where we're normalizing tongues. It's not weird. It's not crazy. It's not, oh, you're speaking in tongues. I'm, guys, isn't it crazy how we get grieved when people pray in tongues? We should get grieved when people don't pray in tongues. Some of you right now, I'm about to pray in tongues and you're going to start getting all like fidgety. Okay. Tell the demons in you to shut up. Tell the demons in you, be like, you need to stop controlling me. You need to stop being grieved. I should not get grieved when I hear someone pray in tongues. I should get grieved when I don't hear anybody praying in tongues.
Yes.
If we're at a prayer meeting, why are we not praying and edifying ourselves in the Lord? And why are we not throughout the day? I don't know about you, Jared. Personally, 90% plus of my prayer life is tongues. Like, I rely on this. I lean on this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start praying in tongues, and we're going to pray for you. And here's some tips I can give you. And if you have any, Jared, feel free to give them. Luke 11 says this, quickly here. All you need to do is ask. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, God is going to give you the Holy Spirit. So ask for the Holy Spirit. Make sure you've repented of your sins. Of course, you have to be a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you need to repent of your sins and turn to God. You cannot have the Holy Spirit without repentance and without trusting in Christ and all of that. Make sure you repent. Ask for the Holy Spirit. And then I want you, don't start saying, Jesus, fill me, Lord, Lord, and speaking English. Okay? Because how many of you know only one thing can come out of your mouth at a time? You cannot speak in English and tongues at the same time. I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit. We're going to start praying in tongues. And I want you not to pray in English. Just still your mind, let the Holy Spirit move in you. And when you start feeling that bubbling up or something in your stomach or almost like butterflies, or maybe your tongue will start feeling like, I want you by faith. Now, we're not going to coach you and say, start saying, Baba, don't, we're not doing that. We're not coaching you to start making up tongues, but open your mouth by faith, start letting it out. and you're going to feel the rivers of living water flowing. Now, for some of you, you're afraid right now because you're saying, what if I make it up? The Bible says this in Luke 11, if you ask for something good, God will not give you something bad. If you ask for real tongues, you're not going to get fake tongues, okay? You've never made it up before. You're not making it up now. And then a real true test is when I pray in tongues, I could think about other things because it's not me speaking. It's not me praying. It's the Holy Spirit. So, Jared, do you have any advice for some of them? Because many of you are going to get it right now. Many of you are going to get it right now.
So praying in tongues deepens your intimacy with God. And I just saw in the chat, someone wrote, I need to be more intentional about speaking in tongues. That's something that I started doing. So I have like my daily reminder checklist. And every single day it's repeated for the last year. It says pray in tongues. And so I do that every single day and I don't check it off. I actually see it all day long and I don't check it off till nighttime because I want to be reminded of how often I should be praying in tongues.
Oh no, we lost Jared. Jared, your camera's frozen. I hear you.
Okay, I'm going to keep
talking. Oh, you got a little thumbs up on your screen. I think it froze your Discord. Maybe turn your camera off and on.
Okay.
Let me turn my other camera on so it doesn't freak out on me here. You're good.
Coming back.
The devil. There he goes. Oh, let's see. We'll get him back right here, guys. Your camera's plugged in?
Yes.
Okay, your camera didn't die then. A little finger went up on your screen. I think it was like a Mac pop-up. And then it froze it. But let's see if it loads here. They can hear you, though, but we can't see you.
Let's see if
it switches back.
I'm just going to go to this camera. Is this all right?
Yeah, you can try it. When I'm talking, you can try to fix it. But for now, let's just use this one. It's a little zoomed in on my end, but we'll fix it.
All right.
Go ahead.
So part of me just being more practical and praying in tongues is what I've had to realize is that I need to do this every single day. And it hasn't been part of my life. I got away from it. It was something that maybe was once a month. But then all of a sudden, as I did it more often, everything began to change in my life. I started hearing the Holy Spirit more clear. I started hearing my wife more clear. I started becoming a better husband. I started getting more sensitive to all the different areas in my life because I was feeling there was something missing. And I really felt the Holy Spirit challenging me to pray in tongues. And so I wrote it in my phone. It's a checklist. And I can tell you guys, if you do this more often, you will see the fruit in your life. You will see a deeper connection with the Lord. You will start to feel all of the religious mindsets of all of the apprehensions, all the things that have been stopping you from moving in power and drawing closer to the Lord. Now, all I want to do is get closer to the Lord. And I believe it all goes back to me praying in tongues and setting a reminder to do it, being practical.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's pray, guys. We're just going to start praying in tongues. Again, please don't waste your time saying, where's the interpreter, all of that. We've already explained all of it. We're in a prayer meeting. We're strengthening ourselves. We're encouraging you guys to do this with us. So I just pray right now, Lord, that you fill them. I pray, God, that every single person in this broadcast, as Paul in Acts 19 prayed for those believers in Ephesus, I pray, Lord, you would fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they would be submerged in the Holy Spirit and fire. They would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Shimba robobo shakambo rumbo sata. Kindi aramanda bosokoro mondo boshimdi arabasata. We pray tongues of fire. We pray tongues of fire, just like on the day of Pentecost. We pray rivers of living water. Shimba robobo kunda basata. Yakambamba shurumbo soti aramando bosa. Yando robobo kutia samba. Hamba robobo shampa ki aramando bosa. We pray, there you go, you're back. Rivers of living water, we pray flow right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Tongues of fire, we pray, God. As I said before, guys, the interpreter is when you're speaking in a public setting to a congregation. We are not speaking in a public setting to a congregation. We are in a prayer meeting. So just let it flow right now. Rivers of living water, we pray, God, that would open their mouth. We pray unbelief would be broken. Holy Spirit, we pray more of your Spirit, God, more of your fire. Shira babasaka, ki daramando rombo, ki aramando boso rombo sha, kabasu taramanda bako
rama. As we're praying in tongues right now, we're actually listening to the Holy Spirit about what to pray, about what to address, about what's going on in some of your lives in the chat. And I keep hearing the Holy Spirit saying, "It's up here. It's up here. You gotta get out of this, out of your mind, and just lead with your heart and just start to allow the overflow of your heart. Start to allow the overflow of what he's doing. It's a bubbling up from the inside.
Thank you, Lord, that many people are going to be filled right now. We break off that religious spirit in Jesus' name. Yes. We command that religious devil to go now. We command every spirit of unbelief and doubt to go in Jesus' name. Every unholy spirit that's trying to hinder you, loose them now in Jesus' name. Loose their tongue, loose their mouth, let them go in Jesus' name. They will pray in the spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, if you can pray in the spirit, in the I want you right now, everybody that's watching live, just begin in your own living room, in your own car, your own house, to begin to pray in the spirit. And some of you go, it sounds like gibberish. Yes, any language you don't understand sounds like gibberish. That's just very basic, very easy to understand. Come on, be bold, guys. Be bold. Don't let religion hold you back. Don't let your family or friends hold you back. Don't be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit.
Even as we're praying right now, Isaiah, I just feel like there's people with like heart palpitations that need to be like, we're just going to pray right now. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for your direction. And I just command the healing power of Jesus now over everyone's hearts, those that are beating irregularly, those that have heart palpitations, those that have even gone to the doctor this last week because they're trying to figure out what's wrong with my heart. So Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. The stripes on his back were enough, that was paid in full. Jesus healed all that were brought to him. So Father, we thank you for your power being released, and we thank you for Jesus. Stretch out your hand again, your hand of healing, and let signs, wonders, and miracles follow those who believe. And we just thank you for your healing power. We just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for those that are getting baptized. I thank you for children right now getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues right now. I thank you. Parents, just put your hands on your children right now and just begin to pray. Just pray. And just pray for yourself. Even if you're the, if you haven't been filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues, start to pray for yourself right now.
Yes.
There is, I just feel the power and the anointing of God right now. And there's an expectancy of heaven. Listen, listen, the Holy Spirit wants this. He wants this so bad. This is not something that, you know, up in heaven they're like, oh gosh, here we go with tongues again. No, like this is something that's going to benefit you and grow you and set you on fire.
So good. And some of you in the chat are like, I felt pressured at camp as a kid. I see these comments. Guys, take the pressure off. There's no pressure. Just rest in his spirit. And remember, you say you don't get it tonight. Say you're like, I didn't get it tonight. What do we do? What did Jesus, Jared, teach us to do? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. So what we do is we keep on. If I don't get it right now, if I don't get it tonight, I'm going to ask again tomorrow. I'm going to ask again the next day. I'm not discouraged. There's no pressure. I'm going to keep on. The Lord says, keep on. If God didn't heal me, if God didn't deliver me, if God didn't save my family, I keep on asking. You will receive in Jesus' name.
Just reminded me too, when my parents 50 years ago moved to Nevada, and my grandpa and my dad were construction workers, and they would frame houses during the day, and then at night they would do a Bible study. My grandfather would teach about what it means to walk in the Spirit, and then my dad would pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And revival started breaking out in these little tiny towns in Nevada in the middle of nowhere. And then the next city invites them, hey, can you do your Bible study here on Tuesday nights? You're doing it Monday night here. And Tuesday night they start doing this Bible study, and the pastor's son of this large denomination that didn't believe in speaking in tongues, didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, starts attending these Bible studies that my dad and grandfather were doing. He and his sister get baptized in the Holy Spirit, go home. They're praying in tongues to their dad. And their dad's like, what are you doing? You can't do this. This is going to ruin the church. I'm going to be so embarrassed. That pastor, the dad, gets radically baptized in the Holy Spirit, starts speaking in tongues at 4 a.m. because he was searching the scriptures for himself and realized this is for today. And then his church goes into full-blown revival, becomes a vineyard church, gets kicked out of the denomination he was currently in, and revival breaks out. But it was all because of the Holy Spirit, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for your personal life. You've been feeling so dry. You've been feeling like you've been going through the motions. This is what's going to happen tonight. There's going to be a breakout in your family, breakout in your walk. You're going to feel alive for the very first time.
Yes. And those of you that are like, I feel uncomfortable right now, praise the Lord. Welcome to Christianity. There's nowhere in the Bible where it said God wants you comfortable. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of our comfort zone. Thank you, Lord, as Jared said, for bringing us out of our denominational walls, denominational lines, religious traditions. Thank you, Lord, that this is not intellectual. This is spiritual. Some of you, I hear the Lord saying, you're stuck. It's intellectual. You can't understand. How am I just going to speak a new language instantly? Guys, it's not like that. It's spiritual. We're not talking about the mind. The mind is unfruitful when you pray in tongues. The mind is not nothing. There's nothing going on up there. You could be thinking about something else and praying in tongues. It's the spirit. It's the spirit. Shambaro. Come on, a couple more minutes, guys. Let's break in here. Break through.
1 Corinthians 2:11 says, no one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And so when we pray through the Holy Spirit, guess what's happening? Our minds become the mind of Christ. Our minds get synced up with His, and our thoughts begin to change. Our priorities start to change. So just invite the Holy Spirit. Say, change my thoughts. Change my minds. Remove the walls. Give Him permission. Remove the obstacles. Remove the lies that I have partnered with. I've partnered with lies because of a bad experience, because of someone that tried to force something on me, because of some teaching that I saw on YouTube. I've partnered with lies. But I break agreement with those lies now in Jesus' name. And now I welcome you, Holy Spirit.
There's people in the chat that are getting it for the first time. Come on, right now.
Yes, I believe
it. Sheba. Jared, if one person gets it, which already multiple have commented they got it for the first time, what we're doing tonight is so worth it. We want to encourage you guys. This is life-changing. You will never – I cannot overstate how life-changing that baptism is where you start praying in tongues. Sheba rababasa.
Without that fire, we're just a bunch of Pharisees. We're just walking around with all of our religious garb and our certificates and all of that. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He was the Pharisee to the Pharisees. He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit in power, and he says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. I've got to subdue those religious demons that I used to operate in, that I used to walk with, that I used to have fellowship with, and God's going to deliver some of you tonight. And you're gonna go into the camp that you used to be a part of. Wow, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And you're gonna help get others set free. You're gonna help others get this new gift. You're gonna help others start praying in tongues. I can feel it so strong that there's gonna be breakthrough. There's gonna be breakthrough tonight. And tonight's your night. Just keep asking, keep believing, and we can thank the Holy Ghost.
Some people are saying they just started for the first time in a long time. Guys, I really feel this is a word, as Jared already shared. Do not neglect tongues. I want you to commit yourself in the next few weeks. You will start seeing prayers answered. You didn't even know you prayed because the Holy Ghost prayed them. You're going to start seeing the supernatural hand of God all over your life. You're like, what is this from? Oh, this is because I've been praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been praying the perfect will of God over me. Sharababasa tika mamba robo shambari adamanda boso kurombo. Shika rambasati adamanda boko rombo sa. Kimba sataramando kutishi bobo sata ribamba bako rombo sa. Bisamba robo sha. Thank you, Lord. Just a couple more minutes, guys. Come on. A couple more minutes. I know it's Friday night. Hey, I want some of you to give yourself a hand because it's Friday night, and here you are. You used to be at the club. Jared, we used to go to the club at the bar. We used to be out drinking. Now we're over here praying in tongues. This is the Lord. Guys, the Lord is moving. You, a couple weeks ago, you were out the party. Now you're praying in tongues in your living room. Isn't the Lord real? Isn't God real? Baptize him, Lord. Baptize him, Lord.
Yes.
Some
of you are still thinking tongues was just temporary. Was the Holy Spirit temporary?
Come on.
Was the Come on. No, he wasn't. Come on. Let's push through. Let's dive in. So cool. I'm telling you, if you get this, it's going to affect everything all down generational lines. It's literally the game changer that's going to help you grow. It's spiritual, like it's a greenhouse of growth for your life.
Yes.
So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for baptizing young and old in your spirit with speaking in tongues, Lord. I pray that they would get this. They would be able to do it, Lord. They would be able to pray.
Yes.
Fill them up right now. Fill them up right now. In
remove
Jesus
the hindrances.
Name.
Remove the hindrances, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we forgive us, God, for saying it's gibberish. Forgive us for mocking. Some of you need to ask the Lord. Just ask him to forgive you. I can't forgive you. Ask the Lord to forgive you for mocking. Forgive you for saying it's demonic. Forgive you for making fun. Some of you might ask for forgiveness, and then you might just get it right after. You just... whatever that is. Shiba robo sapa kumba basata daba. Yamba robo shapa basiti adamanda boko rombosa. Thank you, Lord. Simba ramasa. Kinadaba sha rombo sampi adaba. Come on, just 2 more minutes, guys. 2 more minutes. Bo rombosha. Hasamba ko rombosa tadaba. Yamba suki adamanda bosa. Fire, Lord, fire. Pour your spirit out on them tonight, God. Pour your fire out on them tonight, God. In Jesus' name, we bless them tonight, Lord. Breakthrough. Breakthrough tonight. In Jesus' name. We just bless them in Jesus' name. Guys, I want to encourage you to stir yourself up this next week. Stir yourself up praying in the spirit. We're going to do more live streams praying in the spirit. They'll keep saying, oh, you're not supposed to. Say whatever you want. Say whatever you want. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep praying in tongues. I'm going to keep believing the Lord. We're going to keep preaching on the gifts. We're going to keep preaching on deliverance. We're going to keep preaching on the supernatural. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to make the blood of Jesus into Kool-Aid so it tastes better for the crowds. We are going to preach with the power of God. Paul said, I didn't come with wisdom and knowledge and all that. I came with power and demonstration. The Lord is moving in this generation. God is up to something, and we're just believing for it. We just bless you tonight, and we just say, go out in this fire. Go out in this power. It's Friday night. Leave the live stream tonight with power, with authority, and with fresh anointing. Sheba sataraba. Bless them, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm even getting emotional as I'm praying because I feel the Holy Spirit just so strong. And I'm telling you, like, this is a non... like, I can't live a day without being connected to his heart. And as I was praying, like, I just got this scripture where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, who are heavy laden and burdened. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But he says this, you will find rest for your souls. And I feel like there's so much restlessness happening right now, not just for you personally, but in this world. But there can be rest that you can have. And how do you know you have rest? Is when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, there's no more swirl. You might be even in a storm. You might be facing some sort of spiritual warfare, but even Jesus slept in storms and his disciples had to wake him up. There's a supernatural rest that God wants to release over your life. If that's you, just type 1 in the chat right now that you need breakthrough and deliverance. You need the rest of God over your soul. We're going to pray. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage, Lord, that the enemy thinks that he is going to keep these people bound for the rest of their life. And I just command those lying devils to shut up now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that your voice would become loud in their ears, loud in their spirit.
Yes.
And God, I just thank you that tonight, as a sign, Lord, when they lay their head down, there will be no more, there will be supernatural rest, and they'll have the best sleep that they've ever had. God, I pray that they would be able to lay down their cares. I just hear the Lord saying, you have to lay it at my feet. You've got to lay those things down. You've got to stop carrying them. You were not designed to carry them. That's why you're feeling heavy. That's why you're feeling anxious, and it's affecting everyone around you. It's affecting all of your family members. They're looking at you wondering, are you going to be okay? And literally Jesus said, here's the prescription. Come to me. Lay them at my feet. My Lord. Yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come on, you can't live this way. You're actually shortening your lifespan because you're carrying around so much weight. The Lord's saying, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna take those burdens from you. Come on. Cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you.
Yes.
So Father, I thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.